episode 227 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics. So be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Donna, Lindsay, and Sandy. Anywhere you travel on this planet, you can rest assured that there are native animals where you're going. From sea life to wildlife, there is always something to see and do when traveling. Some involve interaction, and some are observing from afar. This week, we're talking about some of the more unique experiences that you can have on your journey. So let's get started. I just had clients get back from Antarctica, and they got to be all up with chinstrap penguins and seals and walruses. And one of them was sitting like way far away trying to take a picture, and the seals came up to her and started to try to nuzzle her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, wow. I said, what'd you do? And she said, I said, really? She took like 987 pictures while she was there. And one is more beautiful than the, they were on the ship for 11 days. One is more beautiful than the next.
Wow.
Because it's, you know, Antarctica is very, it's very, very careful and intentional about maintaining the, you know, the ecosystem there. And it's like when you come back, she said, when you, if you walked in the snow, you had to refill your print.
Wow.
Before you came back out of it. But she said, I was just sitting there and there, you know, these animals are out in the wild. They're just doing their thing. She's way far away and this seal just starts coming towards her. And she said, I was very still. Because I didn't want to be a seal's lunch.
Wow. You know, I did a class one time about the Galapagos, and they said that there, too, that the animals just don't have this fear of humans, and they'll just come up to you because...
No boundaries.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the videos from the Galapagos, but I think it was National Geographic or whatever, the cameraman that went out there and studied. The seals just come right up, and they'll, like, paw at the masks.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I always love looking at those videos and those pictures and like, because the stiller you are, the closer they'll come to you.
Yeah.
The higher you are. And
I don't know. When I was young, like a teenager, I was on this big Greenpeace kick and I wore Save the Seals t-shirts and I collected seals. And I still don't know if I would, maybe when I was younger, I would have been really cool with them coming up to me, but I do think it would be kind of intimidating. Because they're big.
It depends on how big that seal is.
Yeah.
If you have a big leopard seal or elephant seal, yeah, you just kind of take cover.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen this.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, since we're talking about animal travel, it's a good point to make is that, you know, we as human beings in some ways have decided that it's okay for us to want to have the desire to pet or hold everything.
Yeah. Like squeezing a hippo.
and that's, you know, it's not always, it's not, you know, especially in the wild, it's kind of not our right to intrude into those areas. So I think that, you know, we as much as you want to and as cute as it looks, you need to come into every one of those experiences with a healthy respect for.
Well, a healthy respect and a healthy awareness and fear of wild animals. I mean, even we were just in Bali and the lady in front of me had, you know, they were walking through, going to one of the temples and going through the forest where the monkeys are. The lady in front of me, they had said, you know, make sure bags or anything that's hanging down is hidden. And I was videoing. So I have this great, like 2-minute video of this monkey running out of the woods, reaching up underneath her, sarong, and grabbing her hand sanitizer that had been attached to her purse and yanking it and then like trying to eat it and then hissing at her with his big, huge teeth.
Oh, God.
So being aware and being careful, because it is nice. We do I agree, Laura. We're all like, we all want to snuggle everything, but yeah. That's not the way it is.
Well, it's kind of like this presumption that everything's safe, you know, like that you just feel like the world has guardrails around you, you know, and you know. Yeah. You
well, a lot of it depends on how those animals have been interacted with humans to begin with. Right. There's some of them that have, you know, they're used to being fed. And then there's some of them that are completely wild and you shouldn't. And you really have to rely on that local knowledge of that guide to let you know, is this acceptable behavior or is this not acceptable behavior?
Yeah, is it safe for me? And it, more importantly, is it safe for the animal? You never want to do anything or put any animals in danger or at risk, you know, because just because you might be kind to them doesn't mean the next person might be. So for some, yeah. In some instances, socialization is not good. But there are a lot of great animal experiences that you can have in controlled environments. So.
Yeah, I was thinking as I was talking about what we're going to be doing this afternoon with a friend that about something that Lindsay said a couple podcasts ago when she was talking about Bali. And she said, once you look an elephant in the eye, you'll never be the same. Mm-hmm. And I think there are some unique experience. You know, years ago, in fact, it was 1996, I did some humanitarian relief work in Rwanda during the Rwandan refugee crisis. I was actually in Zaire. And it was towards the end of that crisis, and it was dangerous to be there as anyone who was not, it was dangerous to be there at all. And they had to get us out really quickly because we were kind of airlifted out quickly. They took us back to Kenya where we had a few days of kind of fun, you know, which wasn't really initially planned. And one day they took us to see like the mamas and the beads and stuff, but one of the days they took us to the farm that the movie Out of Africa was the property, I should say, not the farm, that Out of Africa was made about.
That sounds awesome.
And, you know, there are giraffes just walking everywhere there. One of the things they had was, you know, the 15-sided circular homes that we see here, and there's like a deck all the way around the home. Well, mm-hmm. They had one of those there, and you could go up on the deck. And you know how when you go to the zoo, you can buy like goat pellets, mm-hmm. You know, well, you could buy a giraffe pellet. and except the pellet was about as big as a Snickers bar or something.
Oh my gosh.
and you know, for like 50 cents or something, you could feed it. And the giraffes came up because it was right at, you know, mouth level for them and would eat them out of your hands. And the guy who was, you know, who worked at the reserves, said to me, "You brave? You feeling brave?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You like to kiss?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Hold on, you know, give me your 50 cents." So I gave my 50 cents, and he took it, and he said, "Put it right here," and he had me put it right in between my two lips, so like half of it was sticking out, and the giraffe pulled it out of my mouth. So my husband had, and I'd only been married for like 3 years. My husband hadn't seen me. And he's hearing about the fighting and the wars and the fires and the raping and the pillaging and everything that's going on there. He's scared to death. We get 1 5-minute phone call to check in with our loved ones. And he picks up the phone. And he's like, "Oh, my gosh, how are you?" And I'm like, "I kissed a giraffe. Oh, my God. That's the greatest thing. I kissed a giraffe. And he did this. And he did that. I kissed a giraffe." For years, he would walk around. If we'd be in the middle of an argument, he'd go, "I kissed a giraffe."
It's true. It's one of these things. I mean, I've been on trips where I can't remember anything else I did on the trip, but I will have such an amazing animal encounter. Mm-hmm. Like even our little trip to in Florida, Sandy,
Safari Wilderness. Yeah,
we get to feed the lemurs.
Oh, that was the coolest.
That is still one of the coolest things that I've ever done. And I think in when it's done right, you know, there are a lot of places that do it wrong and that the animals are put in harm's way. But when it's done right and it's for conservation, having that opportunity as a human being to grow and have those experiences, but even for children to have those animal encounters early on and to learn compassion, it's very wonderfully done. And we've seen that with the safari park, mm-hmm. and with several other places that have great programs to interact safely and humanely with animals.
Yeah, I think whenever it's done in conservation, and you know they have like programs where they're trying to help the species and they're giving veterinary care and stuff like that, that's different than like an exploitative, you have to perform for me kind of thing, you know?
Right.
It's a fine line. And I think if you're going to countries that don't have as good of a record, then that's when you have to be more aware. Like if they don't have a good human rights record, then you probably need to wonder about their animal rights, you know?
Well, sometimes it's a nice, you know, like it's a nice, I don't want to say not icebreaker, but if you're doing a tour or something that's all about history or architecture or something, finding some kind of way to do an animal activity, whether it's a volunteer thing or visiting a sanctuary or, you know, like I know there's one in Scotland where you can go and be with the rare sheep and even see how their wool is used, and is especially for families, but for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of another nice touch point of getting to know a culture.
Yeah.
Getting to know about that culture.
We did a sheep herding demonstration in Ireland that was fantastic. Getting to see the dogs and how they work was really great, and getting to see what life was like on the farm there. And
speaking of getting to see how dogs work, Lindsay and I are getting ready to go to a dog mushing camp in like a week or so.
I'm really excited about that. I've only ever done the summer camp. I've done when I went out to the museum, the Iditarod Museum in Alaska, and got to go around the track and, you know, the dry track. But this is going to be so cool.
Because we'll have snow.
Because those dogs, they truly, they love what they do. And any doubt that you have in your mind when you're sitting there, like when I was really like, do they want to pull my fat butt around? Like, it's just going to be cruel for them.
Yes, they do.
Uh-huh. They were just bouncing up and down and turning around and looking at me like, all right, are we going? Let's go. Ready? Like it was the happiest moment of their life. It was so cool to get to see that. So.
It's a strong instinct. It's like whenever you get it. Like I remember, I had a friend who had a Sheltie, and one night when the dog was still really young, it got out, and they were having trouble getting it back inside. And their neighbor was outside, and it was this older lady, and the dog kept hurting the lady. And you know,
my neighbor likes to hurt my children.
Yeah, I mean they really do. That's such a strong instinct with dogs. You know, working dogs, the kind of things that they're. You know,
they want to be working, they want to be doing something, because you know, especially those breeds, the Malamutes and the Huskies and the Alaska Malamutes, those dogs, if they don't have something to do, they get really distraught really fast.
And they want to be outside because it's hot inside.
Yeah.
You got all that fur.
That's right.
Well, it should be really interesting for you guys, because I think this past Saturday is when the Iditarod actually started.
Mm-hmm.
So they a lot of those
Yeah.
dogs will be fresh off of that, and you know, fresh off the Iditarod. So
I'm so excited. I'm probably going to be so cold, though. I'm going to want to just like, can I just lay down and have them?
I'm just going to crawl into the kennel and lay down with the dogs.
Isn't it Princess Cruise Lines?
Yes, they bring the puppies on board.
Yeah
they call it puppies in the piazza.
Yes,
yeah.
They also in the Caribbean they bring parrots in the piazza, but they do. Mm-hmm. Puppies in Alaska, and that to me, like I would give up every excursion to just roll around on the ground with.
But okay, so you've got your domesticated, but then you've got your wild animals too, that they're actually out and you're in their environment, and you know, they've got photography tours and things like that that you can do, especially like safaris in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah, and there are some that are run where, you know, you just go, it's called the Churchill Polar Bear or something, and they only allow like 6 to 8 people on every group that goes there. And they're just taking photography of the polar bears.
God, how close do they get to a polar bear?
Well,
too close.
You don't want to be too close to a polar bear.
You want to hug them just like the hippos because they're so fuzzy.
No, you do not. Sandy,
polar bears are the only animals on the planet that hunt humans.
That poor Russian village or where is the village that was like the polar bears have now like encroached on the village and they're...
Yeah, I read about that. What'd they do? Do they airlift the people out? Are they still, is there anyone left?
I don't think they're still there. I don't know.
What's going on with that news? I haven't seen an update on that.
Donna, you're a diver. Have you seen people doing photography of animals while they're diving?
Oh, definitely. I've actually, when I went on my last dive, I got a brand new, or Jeff got a GoPro for Christmas, and I bought the housing so that I could actually go under there and take video, and then I went to go turn it on, and my battery was dead.
Oh.
But I paid extra so that I could have professional photographs taken of me with their camera. And then I had it downloaded onto my phone, and then I had all these professional photographs. So that is, I mean, nature photography is a huge thing.
Yeah.
If you really want to go and see the animals in their environment and not disturb them.
You know, there's, and now safaris are going, you know, in the past we've always heard about people, you know, just doing the big five in South Africa, but more and more we're seeing where they're taking small groups to see the gorillas in Rwanda and Uganda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can,
and that really is, everyone I've talked to that's done that has said that that's hands down the bucket list moment of their life. And there's quite a few steps you have to take in order to be allowed to do that. So that's definitely something you want to talk to your travel agent about in advance. And there are a few.
You have to have a certain pass.
You've got to, and it's not cheap by any means, but it is definitely, from everyone I've spoken with that's done it, it's worth every penny.
That's one that I would think would be intimidating to be like.
But they're so gentle. And
they're not exactly gentle.
Yeah, I mean, aren't you supposed to like not look at them and, you know?
No, you don't look, you're not supposed to look at them. But if you are doing what the guide is telling you to do and you are obeying the rules and following the guidelines and respecting their space and not encroaching upon them, it's different. It's not like you're just running out into the.
No, you have to ease out or you're in a blind. And so, you know, that way you're not encroaching on their space.
But it's great because the money goes toward conservation for them.
Right.
So that's actually, you know, it's a lot of money, but the money is.
So what do you guys think if someone is traveling somewhere and they want to have an animal encounter, how do you make sure you're doing like the humane right kind of tour? Like, what are some of the things you should look out for?
Well, read the reviews. That's one of the biggest things. Because if people get weird feelings about their tour, or they, you know, it smells, or, you know, these other things, the reviews will tell you a lot of times.
The reviews will tell you. I did a lot of research in finding an animal counter for Bali, and I was really hesitant for what I was going to do because elephants aren't native to Bali. And there are so many horror stories of places where they're exploited. And I didn't want to do an elephant ride. I didn't want to do anything like that. So I really kind of had to dig deep to find something. And it just happened that there was a brand new program that had just started in December at the zoo where the focus was more on, it was a spa day for the elephants. It was the most incredible thing I've ever done, getting to bathe and massage these elephants and have this unique experience with them. But it was more about caring for them and learning about caring for them than it was about, exploiting them. So I think that's going into my doing the research, and it's not always going to come right out to you. You can't, this is where, you're going to have to put in a little legwork to find something that's above board.
But also using reputable tour operators.
Yeah. And because every dollar you spend with a company that is is concerned with the animal's welfare and concerned with how the animals are treated and in conservation is, you know, is one more dollar that they have to care for those animals. If people were to just say, oh, we just don't want to do encounters anymore at all, it would create a problem for a lot of those animals. Those businesses would go under, and then those animals might be sold to someone who's not as concerned with their well-being.
It's a delicate balance. You have to.
It's a very complicated. It's not black and white. It's a very complicated issue, and that's why, you know, I love animals, and I always get that. How can you do so many animals? Yeah, because I'm trying to do the right ones. There are good people in the world, and there are good programs in the world, and if you support them, good will come of it.
And one of the things you have to remember is that the standards that we have as Americans are not necessarily the standards that other countries have. A lot of times they eat those animals. They're actually raised for food. And knowing that going into it, that, you know, they do have those conservation efforts where, you know, a third of the population gets put in for breeding and a third gets released into the wild to replenish numbers and a third gets eaten. They're still being responsible, but it's part of their diet.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I know. When I used to work for a solar company, and there was a local farmer who would bring meat and stuff, and he was all about, this was the coolest thing, because they did like this sustainable farm tour every year. They still do it with farms all around the area. But he was all about conception to consumption and how, you know, yes, we eat them, but we love them the whole time, you know? And so, you know, I mean, I don't know. It just kind of gave me this different perspective. I was not a vegetarian before this anyway, but I think, you know, that ethical way of looking at it and treating the animals and, you know.
You know, I always wanted a sheep and a lamb. And my parents said if I made good grades when I was in fourth grade, I could get a lamb, and my dad enrolled me in 4-H. And I went to every little 4-H meeting. I did all my things. I worked really hard. I was right near the end of the school year. And then I found out on the last meeting what they were going to do with my baby lamb.
Oh. They were going to eat your lamb?
But, and my dad had to have, you know, I never got that lamb.
Oh.
But it's, you know, one of those. It is the, you know, kind of the circle of life. So even though you may be going, you know, you found this really great thing where you can go help feed baby cows or whatever, it's, you know, it's the way that people sustain themselves. And it's, you know, that it doesn't mean they don't care for their animals, but it's, you know, it's a circle of life and the way things work. So
that reminds me of going back to my 15-year-old self and my Save the Seals t-shirt and Greenpeace and all that. One time my dad was going on a work trip and he asked me what I wanted, and I said anything with a seal on it, like thinking he'd bring me home a stuffed animal or something. He brought me a seal skin purse and a seal skin keychain. And I'm so upset. Then he tried to say, oh, this seal was already dead, and they just found it.
Yeah. That did not help.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's always been in me, though.
You know, but there are all kinds of ways to involve, you know, animals in your travel with, you know, helping, you know, when they help the little baby turtles go back to the sea, you know, they always need volunteers. And I think it's a great way to, you know, to get to know a country or an area of our country better, is to involve yourself in some kind of humanitarian or.
And you can do that locally. They've got the sea turtle releases down in Topsail Beach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here in North Carolina. So.
Yeah, but I know that. I've had clients go, and I think Elizabeth went to there's a wolf sanctuary in Colorado.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, there's all these little hidden spots of animal sanctuaries or rare animal sanctuaries that they depend on people coming in to visit, and it, like I said, it helps you see you know, an area of the country where they may be trying to rehabilitate wild horses, or, you know, people who are specializing in kind of the bigger animal rescue, or are really working to make things.
Or, you know, even using it for accessibility purposes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The bear sanctuary we went to in Sitka.
Oh, yeah. 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 There's a really good wildcat sanctuary near where I am in Pittsburgh that takes in cats like tigers and stuff that have been, you know, exploited in places where they, you know, you'd see them in a mall and you could take a picture with a tiger cub, you know, and then it gets bigger and then all of a sudden they can't handle it anymore and it ends up in this tiny little cage or something like that. So, they have a bunch of big cats like that. It's pretty cool. We did one of my kids' birthday parties there one year.
Yeah. The aquarium we went to in Clearwater.
Oh, yeah.
Where winter is.
Yeah.
Where winter is.
Winter and Hope, yeah.
Winter and Hope and
the otters.
Yeah, the otters, and they all had those sad stories and of people thinking animals are pets that shouldn't be pets. And
yeah, the one guy that had the otter since it was a baby, and then he decided he was just going to let it go, and he kept trying to take it out into the river and let it go, and it kept swimming back to him. And oh God, that was heartbreaking. Poor thing.
What a heartless person.
Yeah, what a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah, that's we've talked about. You know how we read reviews, but when you go to someplace and they do a good job or when they don't do a good job, leave a review and help other travelers know who to support and, what about the experience made it special for you, like that, you know, the thing that Lindsay did with bathing the mud bath for the elephant. And
yeah, I need to leave a review for that. We all need to be better at leaving good reviews because when you come home and you're upset or you're angry about something, it's so easy to, you know, fire up the keyboard and do your finger stretches and type out a nasty message. But when you have a great experience, one that even changes your life, it can be hard sometimes to remember to carve out that, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to write a review, but that's the best way that you're going to get word out there to other people. If you had a great,
and they're always asking for that too.
If you had a great animal interaction that you feel other people should know about, send us a message.
Make a comment on our show notes
or our Facebook page. So we can let our clients know so that we can go check out ourselves.
Yeah. I'd love to hear that. That's cool.
Well, that's our show for this week. You've driven us a little batty. Thank you for hanging out with us. We could barely stand it. No. Share your life-changing travel moments with us on the Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review. Let us know if something's fishy on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Donna, Lindsay, and myself, Laura, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly!